This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man.
Please. And away we go.
Less than 2 weeks away from determining who the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings future is, or from a gigantic buzzkill when they go meat and potatoes at 11 and cornerback at 23.
I don't think we have to be concerned about that. After the Kwesi press conference yesterday, I think that you might be, if you don't want the Vikings to wait till 11 to like draft Penix, that might be like your, oh man, that's what they did. But yeah, as far as like we go defensive tackle and cornerback, I think we are diving into the deep end of the pool, boys. That's what
we'll start this Feedback Friday with just some stuff about Kwesi, and we can talk about some of the things he said in that press conference. If you are live with us here on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, we appreciate you. Please click the like button and the subscribe button on this video. And over on the audio side, when you listen to the Spotify or Apple editions of this show, definitely give us a 5-star rating and a positive review as we continue to look to grow this awesome community of Vikings fans. We turn the Friday shows over to you guys, and we just collect as many of your emails. You can always hit us up, the feedback tab at ScoreNorth's on the ScoreNorth app. That's the best way to email the show. And also, if you're unfamiliar with some of our other podcasts at ScoreNorth, we've got Flagrant Howls with the Timberwolves approaching the playoffs, Judd's Hockey Show, RIP Wild Season, and also the ScoreNorth Twin Show and the ScoreNorth Twin Show YouTube channel, which we just launched a few weeks ago, spearheaded by Declan here. But Judd, you're in Iowa here visiting family for the weekend. How many quick trips did you pass on your way through southern Minnesota?
Oh, my God. I think I passed about four or five. And then here, they turn into quick stars because quick trip, there's a quick trip old school.
Okay.
So they become quick stars, but they are all fantastic. And right now, though, I want to talk to you about options. You are looking at some of the options here. And in particular, quick trips, chicken, like, you know, you think about gasoline, right? You think about a quick snack. You think about a pop, a newspaper. Well, at least I do. But let's talk about chicken. Fried chicken, chicken tenders, roasted whole chicken. You can put quick trips, chicken, mano a mano against anyone else. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to win. That's right. Put up your dukes, because when you're talking prepared, fresh, daily, we're also, you know what? Boneless wings. You're going to watch a game. Let's say you're going to watch the Wolves and Hawks, and you're like, I'd like a snack during tonight's game. Where should I stop? Quick Trip, boneless wings, outstanding. Again, your one-stop shopping for all of your needs. Quick Trip is the place to go. And, of course, we appreciate them as the presenting sponsor of this fine show.
Amen. Okay, Feedback Friday begins with Skol VA. I'm getting very weary of the speculative narrative that there is some sort of, is it pernicious?
I think it's pernicious.
Pernicious?
It's a great word. I don't use it much, but I believe pernicious is correct.
Okay. That there's some sort of pernicious divide between Kwesi and KOC when it comes to draft strategy. It's being presented by some on this very show, ahem. I think he's talking about Judd.
Yeah, he is.
Yep, like, yep. Kwesi is effectively a 15-year-old kid trying to inflate his roster in Madden, and KOC is a mindless quarterback hawk who wants his guy at any cost, reasonable or not. Is this all based on a poor 2022 draft that the Draft Room video released after the 23 draft, which Judd has referenced? I feel like we've been trying to portray them as dueling entities rather than collaborators. That blunts the narrative. Here's my take. Kwesi and Kevin have different jobs, but they both have the same goal. Kwesi doesn't want draft capital in spite of great players any more than Kevin wants a few superstars in spite of a deep, effective roster. The reason I know this is because neither of them have shown to be complete morons, which they would have to be for the dueling agendas to make sense.
Well, first of all, okay, they wouldn't have to be morons to disagree. And you know, in a case like this, let's admit that we should present all possible angles of where things are going. Like, unless they allow us in the draft room to see their process, and then we're like, oh, we've seen your process. You just, on Vikings.com, you just put out every conversation for the draft, so now we know. That note might be exactly right, but I don't think it's fair to just assume, well, they're going to work together, it's going to be best case, blah, blah, blah. I think we don't know when it comes to a pick like this, which Chip hedged and said, this is going to be one of the most important picks in, and he was about to say franchise history, and then he hedged it back and said, I think, on Purple Access yesterday and said 30 years. And I said, no, Chip, you're right. It's franchise history. This is one of the most important picks in. I don't think that we should assume we know a thing about these guys. Could they be on the same page? Absolutely. Absolutely. But Dan, well, Judd is trying to make a rift. All of us have covered sports long enough to know that decisions like this, you're not going to get like 100%. Yeah, you know what? We all agree. In fact, let's go to Quick Trip now and get some chicken and eat together. They should, exactly right. But anyway, these are complicated matters, and I feel it's my job as part of this show to at least present what can be complicating factors. It doesn't mean they're not going to end up at the right place. And to be very clear, too, it does not mean that disagreements are bad. Disagreements are good.
Well, I think the complicated factors are really just that there are no players that are a 100% hit rate.
Sure.
Just because you love a quarterback doesn't mean that there's a 100% chance that that quarterback pans out. So there's the volatility of the stocks being discussed, to speak Kwesi language, the stocks being young quarterbacks in the draft. And then there's the value of the other picks that you might have to give up to get a stock that you perceive as being valuable.
Correct.
And so that's where the nuance and the complication lies here, is like, they can sit in that room and they can all agree, we like Jaden Daniels. We really like, in fact, I'll use a word that Kwesi used yesterday at his press conference. He said, there are multiple quarterbacks we love. Mm-hmm. Right? He said, we love multiple guys in this quarterback class. We've been looking at it for 2 years, going back to 2022. But how much do you love a guy when it's going to cost you 3 first round picks to go up versus maybe this other quarterback that you like a lot, maybe almost love? Is the gap between those two guys enough to give up multiple first round picks, knowing that none of them are 100% to pan out? That's the complicated gray area here.
Yes. And then on Purple Access with Chipper, we got into, at the end of the day, if they love those top four, and Caleb has obviously gone to Chicago, so it's Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and McCarthy. And they have played footsie with Penix, so they like him a lot, but they don't love him, okay? We're talking about a franchise-changing decision that I said, you know what? The tiebreaker ultimately on the price point to pay to go up might be the Wilfs. Like, they own this team.
I want the Wilfs to just kind of calm down.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, if O'Connell at the end of the day says, you know what, the 2025 first, fine, I don't care. And Kwesi's like, I don't know about that. Like you might need, I think people perceive these discussions as being potentially like fractured, like they're going to leave the room and never talk again. But when you're talking about this big of investment, like, you're going to have differing views. I don't think that's a bad thing, because if everybody says, you know what, let's not do it, too much, we can't, that's how you never do it.
Kwesi was also asked, hey, this is a really important draft for you and your future. You know, this is, I don't think it was specified this way exactly. I didn't hear the full question sort of off microphone, but it's like, your career is on the line with this draft pick, right? How comfortable do you feel with, how many of these quarterbacks do you feel like can be franchise quarterbacks?
Yeah, Mark Craig asked this.
It was a great question. And Kwesi said, I can't give you that number. He said, it's a viable question. It's a great question. I would love to give you that number, but it would make my phone calls with these other teams. I mean, he's literally up there saying, We love multiple quarterbacks. I am actively talking trade with multiple teams. I can't tell you much more than that. Maybe after this is over, he said. Now I'm back to direct quoting him. Maybe after this is over, I'll tell you.
Yep.
This is the most open he's been in 2 years at that press conference yesterday.
It was phenomenal. And what I love is, look, I don't expect him to basically say, you know what, Mark Craig, we love McCarthy. Everyone else, but if we don't get McCarthy, this franchise is going to fold. But I love the fact that he gave, in my opinion, yesterday, the best quotes he's ever provided.
Do you think he is this loosey-goosey and open because there is no decision to be made anymore?
Well,
that they already know exactly what they're going to do?
Okay.
It's already agreed upon behind
the
scenes.
You know what that is, Phil? That's a great question. That is
Justin Herbert is already buying houses in the Twin Cities area.
So let's put the pieces of the puzzle together here, because you just brought up something that we talked about, and I think I might have broached this one from the league meetings in March when Mark Wilf joined Pelissero and the insiders.
Yeah.
And we talked about the same thing. He was almost giddy.
He was.
And it's like, dude, you've got a really important decision to make. And look, I mean, it's great that you're happy, but you seem like it's almost solidified.
Well, he said we have a plan. And you're right. He was acting in a giddy way. He was acting the way that you would act if you're excited about what you just accomplished.
He got
like an anxious energy about.
Right. It's like he had the date to the prom locked in, but he hadn't announced it yet. But you sort of knew, okay, he's got this locked in. Yeah. I will not be surprised. I mean, right now, from an outsider's point of view, it certainly looks like the Vikings are going to have to make a trade on draft night, which would scare me. But from what we're talking about here, if they pull the trigger draft day afternoon, okay, we have agreed to with the Cardinals or with the Patriots. It will not surprise me, because everyone is sort of acting like there's something they're not telling us, and they're all really relaxed because of that.
It definitely feels that in other drafts, like, I think KOC mostly would default to Kwesi. I know last year there was the epic call, just take the guy, take Addison, just take him. But obviously this one is incredibly more important because everyone knows they're going to draft a quarterback, and there has to obviously be input, not just from Kwesi of, is this the right guy to take at said pick? This has to be the right fit for the team, which obviously then KOC comes involved, McCown comes involved, Wes Phillips becomes involved, everyone in the entire staff becomes involved. So it has to be a collaboration. I think in any other draft, I think Kevin O'Connell is for sure involved with decision-making, but not at this level, right? I mean, you're talking about drafting your franchise-changing quarterback, so there damn right should be collaboration all over the place between head coach and GM.
Okay, Kerry Lee chimes in and says, fellas, what if the number one quarterback on the 2024 draft board is Sam Darnold? Drafting a rookie quarterback takes draft capital, patience, lots of coaching, etc. And with all the effort and support, the odds that they will not be better than an okay starter are pretty high. If you're building a championship roster, wouldn't it be better to put all of that effort into Sam Darnold? Also, if Sam Darnold was in this year's draft, where would he rank? He's 26 years old. It's hard to say that.
Like redrafted now, or we erase his entire professional career?
I think you'd have to put him as is right now, having been in the league for a half decade,
right,
back in the draft. How damaged is he is sort of the question. How much unwiring needs to be done from those Jets teams that he was a part of?
Right.
That's the question.
So here's why I think that they're going to draft one. You are not going to be presented with a quarterback class like this again for a while. Like 2025 is supposedly much, much, more smaller group of guys. This is a large group, relatively speaking, of QBs. And Kwesi did go out of his way to basically say, and I like this, that this has been O'Connell's show. Like, mm-hmm. O'Connell has drawn up the ideas to go individually look at guys, privately meet. It sounds like O'Connell is the one who astutely said workouts, like, let's go watch them. Let's have guys go watch them. But they don't mean as much as if we can get our playbook in front of a guy in a classroom, go out on a field. I go back to what O'Connell said. I love this. Let's take him to his favorite restaurant, see how he treats people. Because, you know, if he walks in like a complete jerk, I was trying to think of a nice word to say. If he walks in like a complete jerk, then you know what? He's probably not a guy that can lead our team. Yeah. So I understand the point. Like, I get the point. And yes, Kirk, I think Kirk in some people's minds has left a bitter taste of buyer beware. Like, you got a good quarterback, but the price was huge. But keep in mind, if you hit on this kid, first of all, you get 5 years of control. And second of all, it's a situation where you're not now going to be presented in 25 and 26 with the same draft classes. So if you've done your work and you've identified two or three of these guys who you think are going to be special, I think this is the exact right time to pull the trigger. And it feels like that's what the Vikings have prepared themselves very well, might I add, for all of you who think I hate the team. I feel like they've done a very good job of preparing themselves to make that judgment without it being a reach or a, oh my God, we just have to draft one.
Did you guys see the clip of Gabe Henderson asking Kevin O'Connell if he was in this year's draft class, where do you think KOC would go? And he basically summed it up as, I'd be a day three pick with a ton of upside, is basically what he said. A day three project quarterback with a ton of upside.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
I'd love to ask him, maybe we can get him on the show again for the third consecutive offseason. How much does his, I'll just say, sort of failure as a third-round quarterback prospect, as a player, how much has that driven everything after the coaching career? Because now he's become one of the most successful football coaches, right? There's only 32 NFL head coaching jobs in the world. He has one of them. Be a fun conversation. Just real quick, back to something Judd said. I love that because they do this type of stuff. They try to figure out, it's not just about, let's go meet with J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels and talk X's and O's and see if they can throw a football over those mountains, right? They're trying to figure out, how are you mentally wired? How are you as a leader?
Right.
And Kwesi talked about some of those leadership traits yesterday, but I agree. You bring up the restaurant analogy where can you bring a guy to his favorite restaurant, see how he interacts with the wait staff. If you're a dick to like a bartender or a server, it says a lot about you, right?
Correct.
If you treat staffers at a restaurant like garbage, like you're above them, right. You know, so that type of stuff, if you can sniff some of that stuff out with somebody.
Well, yeah. And what's your choice? A restaurant or a bar?
I think a bar, because you want to see, are they reckless, irresponsible? Do they have 3.5 cocktails with?
But if he chooses,
might hire them.
But if Drake May's like, yeah, let's go to my favorite bar and I'll get some eggs there as well. Then I'm like, okay, how much time do you spend in the bar itself? Like, there's just a lot of little tells. This is the type of stuff that I was always convinced the Vikings didn't, with the previous administrations, didn't do well. Like, you got to know this guy inside out, and I feel like O'Connell, especially because he sort of like knows the tells, right? I think it's incredibly important. I would liken what O'Connell is doing here as a coach more to a failed baseball player. There's a lot of guys who completely, you know, Tom Kelly, right? Bust of a player, but he knew all of the things players did, like he was wired right. And so I think O'Connell is a really, really good guy to have as a coach because he did fail. Because he knew what he wanted to do talent-wise. He just couldn't. But, you know, his patience now. Because it's why guys that are outstanding players lots of times can't coach. Because they're like, why can't guys do what I did? It's like, because they're not as good as you. I think O'Connell goes into situations knowing what success looks like, in part because he didn't experience that success.
Top five, not like top five, like the number one thing on the cringiest thing is when you go out to drink with someone, or maybe like you run into someone at the bar that you haven't seen in a long time, and they do treat the wait staff like crap, and you're my, like, that is a skin crawling thing for me. It mm-hmm. makes my skin crawl and boil inside, and I can't be around it. I have to like walk away, or like I will even overly tip the bartender because like I feel
How about the guys that leave no tip? Or worse yet, they take the check if they didn't like the service and write no tip. Like, I just want to drive this point home.
How many times in your lives have you ever been with someone who does something like that, and you have then, like, once they leave the table, gone back to apologize or tip extra or make up for it in some way?
I've gone out of my way at least twice to apologize a few times for situations. Yeah, yes, I have. My fiance is still a server part-time and stuff, and her favorite one is when they eat the whole meal and like, how was everything? Oh, I didn't really like the food, but you ate the entire thing. Like you ate the entire meal. Why, if you didn't like it, why did you eat the whole thing?
And then they tip less because it's not her fault.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just want JJ McCarthy to be nice to servers is the moral of the answer. Okay. Tim from Iowa says, he did send this over too, by the way. I can send it to you guys. He put together a spreadsheet of quarterbacks drafted over the last 17 years. He says, I cut the analysis at 17 years because the project was becoming a bit too much.
Yeah, Tim, come on.
That's still a lot of work, though, Tim. Anyway, my question for the Purple Daily crew is based on my assessment of quarterbacks' success in the NFL, which is kind of subjective, obviously. It breaks down to a success rate of 42% of the time a team is successful picking a starting quarterback in the first two rounds over the last 17 years.
Okay.
So with that, what say you guys? Do you take that 42% number and say, why risk making such a high investment in quarterback when there's less of a coin flip chance that your guy could be successful? Or do you look at conversely and say, because there's such little success, you have to take a swing when you have a chance? Let me know what you guys think.
I would take door two. I also think, Phil, that what you have gone back and looked at becomes incredibly important, which is, where do you take your swing? So like, the less than a coin flip chance is like, well, no, then you shouldn't, right? But if you now say, you know, we're going to flip the coin in the fifth round, guess what? It goes down. So like, there is certain positions, in my opinion, that if you want to hit home runs, you, for the most part, are going to have to take guys in the first two, if not the first round, and quarterback is one of those. And you know what? I'll go back to what I keep saying. I don't think it's fair to hold the sins of the previous, you know, of the Spielmans and the Zimmers and the Childresses against these guys. These guys deserve their chance. So, yes, is there risk? There's always risk. But that's why I am big on giving yourself a really good chance to find a guy, and these guys are doing everything they possibly can.
But people are overstating the risk. Let's just use the 42%, right? People look at the 42% and say, oh, man, there's less than a coin flip chance. That's very risky. And by the way, Kwesi talked about risk yesterday and said, just because something's risky doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. Because the reward might, I mean, I used to play poker for a living back in the day, and like, everything's risky. You're literally betting your own money on hands. And like, the sure. You would think that the least risky thing you could do at a poker table is just fold every hand. Well, then you're, but you know what's going to happen? You're not going to win tournaments. You're not going to win cash games.
Yeah, you're just going to be a,
right. You need to play hands. But back to my point about people overstating the risk. People see 42% and think that the bell curve is 0 to 100%, that there are teams in the classroom and positions out there being drafted that are 100% successes. And that's not the case. I haven't done the math on what the left tackle hit rate is, but it ain't 100%.
Right.
It's probably about 42%, just like quarterbacks.
Right.
How many first round busts? This is the thing. Well, it's really risky to draft a quarterback. Look how many failures there are. You want to go through the Vikings' history of drafting cornerbacks and wide receivers? Laquon Treadwell, Troy Williamson, random Viking of the week yesterday. So right. If every position is a risk, then shouldn't you lean into drafting the most talented players at the most important position?
That's what I'm saying. Right. Exactly right. And I would say that it's pretty simple to list the positions at which, if you are going to take that quote-unquote risk, quarterback, cornerback, like if you want And yes, you can find cornerbacks in the third and fourth round. I know that. But if you want to leave the draft saying we got a potential Pro Bowl corner who can cover these ridiculous receivers, they should be first round picks probably. So like that, and yep. And that's where I think we also get into the discussion of what positions don't you need to target in the first round. For instance, center. The Vikings were desperate, right? Garrett Bradbury, in their opinion, was going to be good. But we could make a pretty coherent case that no matter how good you thought he was going to be, he should not have been a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Quarterback's the polar opposite. If you're going to take that risk, you should do it in the first round.
The Bradbury pick is a far riskier pick than any of the quarterbacks the Vikings have whiffed on. Because yes, you're taking a correct position that ordinarily is not a first round value position. So it's risky to even draft a center. And then there's a chance that the center that you draft doesn't turn out to be all that good, which is what happened. That was risky. I'd rather take, if I'm going to take a risk, I might as well take a shot at a guy who's 6'4" and can throw the ball 70 yards down the field, Drake May or whoever. So, Okay. Nick Howard chimes in, says, have you guys seen the PFF Steve mock draft from yesterday? This should be the mock draft of the day, okay?
I want a mock!
Mock! Okay. So here's our mock of the day, presented by our friends at Aquaside. Declan, it is looking like lake season this weekend here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We're getting in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, we're closer and closer. People are trying to probably put in those docks at their lakes, at their cabins and whatnot, and then you step in there and you realize, like, oh, what has grown in here over the wintertime? And maybe there's some nasty algae in there. You don't want to step into that, and you might be looking at it and not even knowing what the heck it is. That's where our friends at Aquaside come in. So you can go to aquaside.com. They'll help you diagnose what's in that lake or pond. And then they have Aquaside pellets that'll help you kind of get rid of that type of stuff so you have a nice, easy step into that lake. And these are safe products, too. They're registered with the EPA and DNR, so these aren't just some random willy-nilly products. These are safe products. You can go to aquaside.com. Shipping is free. You can go to aquaside.com to learn more.
Also, as you guys know, the third annual Purple Daily Draft Party is coming up in less than 2 weeks, Thursday, April 25th at the Fillmore in Minneapolis. And our friends at Popped Corn are the official flag sponsors. That's right. Everyone in attendance is going to get one of Judd's Purple Daily flags to wave whenever something exciting happens.
I don't have it with me right now.
You didn't travel it down to
Iowa. I didn't travel down.
It's not like your blankie. You don't hold the flag.
Well, at home it is, but not down here. Yeah.
You should get one of your hands replaced with a flag.
Sounds like a terrible idea.
Edward Flag Hands.
Edward Flag Hands.
That sounds like an awful idea. I can't type.
All VIPs in attendance will also get a Popped Corn sample bag. So thanks to Popped Corn for helping power the Purple Daily Draft Party. Okay, here's our mock from PFF Steve. The Bears take Caleb Williams. The Commanders take Drake May.
Okay. Yep.
And then we have a trade for the number 3 overall pick, where the Minnesota Vikings are now on the clock. Good thing they met with Jaden Daniels at the last second. Got a face-to-face with him because that's who PFF Steve has the Vikings trading up for. But the trade details are the interesting thing. He says the Vikings move up to the 3, and they only give up the 11 and the 23. Is there a chance that, because New England's doing a great job of leaking things to, like, Boston media, saying, oh, if you think it's going to be the 11 and the 23, think again. Try next year's first, the next year's first, a couple of thirds, a seventh, all this stuff, right? But is there a chance that maybe the demand for that pick, we know that the Patriots need to beef up their roster. They're probably best suited to move down. Maybe the market for that third pick isn't as strong as they would hope. And by the way, like, if the Giants are going to move up from 6, are you going to get more from the Giants going up 3 spots than the Vikings would give you with the 11 and the 23 moving up 8? I don't know. If the Broncos aren't in the mix, I don't know if the Patriots can get anything better than the 11 and the 23.
I think if they couldn't, they might stand pat. I wonder if PFF... Pat the Patriot. By the way, bring back that helmet, okay? Bring back the old school Patriots look. Anyway, I wonder if PFF Steve has some steam.
Oh, I just scrolled down, by the way. Oh, this is wild. So Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison Jr., Chargers taking Malik Nabers, Giants taking Joe Alt, Titans taking Talese Fuaga. Laiatu Latu, the edge rusher, to the Falcons. Okay, pretty standard. Roma Dunze to the Bears, standard. Brock Bowers, Jets. And then the Patriots, with the 11th overall pick, take J.J. McCarthy. So this is a classic example of if then Penix goes next to the Broncos. Would you rather have J.J. McCarthy and keep the 23, or would you rather move up to take Jaden Daniels and include the 23?
I think the Vikings.
I don't have a great answer.
I think the Vikings might stand pat there, but the problem there is you can't automatically assume that McCarthy's going to drop either. That's I feel like the 11 and 23 alone would not get you three. I feel like the Broncos would give up. Now, they wouldn't have a second first-round pick this year, but I feel like the Broncos would give up a bigger package for a quarterback than that, partially because Sean Payton, he ain't a young man. And this turnaround's going to take a little bit of time. I don't know his patience is going to be, and I'm guessing that unlike the Vikings case, where I think there could be disagreements, but it's somewhat collaborative, if not very collaborative. I don't think George Payton, if Sean Payton comes in and says, we're trading up, I don't think good old George has a leg to stand on right now, right? Because he's like, I don't want to do that.
George Payton, he was a great assistant GM for the Vikings, but how he has made it through this Russell Wilson debacle is... And didn't he also hire Nate Hackett?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he is, Sean, I've done a really good job here. No, you've sucked. So we're going to make this huge trade. And Sean Payton ain't going to care about, like, future firsts.
Caffeinated Crypto chimes in here.
Oh, I like it.
And says, Tom Brady said on a recent podcast, he's not opposed to picking up a call if a team wants him to play quarterback this year.
Phone rings.
So he'll be 47 years old when the season starts. Would you make this call if you're Kwesi and have J.J. McCarthy, maybe draft J.J. McCarthy to sit behind Tom Brady for a year? Sorry, Sam Darnold. You've been pushed out the door.
I thought the story I saw was a late season call to come in.
Did he say late season? I didn't see the late season part.
I thought he said he would come in during a season. Now, I might be wrong about that, but I saw it last night and was looking through the story.
Tom Brady right now, if you gave him like 2 months to get the arm
in
shape.
The Vikings are at.
Tom Brady right now is a top blank quarterback in the National Football League.
Oh, God. He hasn't played in...
2 years. 2 years.
Top 20, top 15.
I was going to say top 15.
I guess.
I'd say top 20, solidly top 20.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, would you rather have Tom Brady or Russell Wilson right now?
Tom Brady?
But here's my thing is, I like what you're doing here as far as trying to build out. And I think Brady needs to go to, like, if Tom's going to do this, he almost should be put into a team that needs a Farvini in 2009.
Don't you think the Vikings are, okay, you take this Vikings team right now, as constructed, with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Hockenson comes back week 4. You got Aaron Jones. You got the Brian Flores defense. And you put, because you said, is it a Brett Favre, plop him on top, 2009 situation?
Yep.
And you put Josh Allen on this team right now.
Oh, Josh Allen?
This team competes for a Super Bowl, right?
But, I mean, he's top five.
But Brett was a top five quarterback in 2009. He was older, obviously.
But, I mean, with Tom, we don't know, because, as Dak said, he hasn't played for 2 years.
He's for sure doing Fox this year, right? Or is that next season?
Oh, no. He's supposed to be doing it this season.
Usually, like, May and June is kind of when all the media stuff starts to take shape. Well, who would give the Vikings more wins if they played every game this season? Sam Darnold or Tom Brady?
Oh, Brady would. But I'm done. But I want to develop. In our job, I ain't turning it down, okay?
And so, if you drafted McCarthy,
it would be great fun for Purple Daily.
It'd be one Michigan man mentoring another Michigan
That's true.
Oh, man.
Oh, I might be changing my view.
Okay, this is from former Cousins Crusader. Welcome aboard. By the way, Cousins Crusaders, you are welcome here. This is a safe space for you. If you've had a hard time sort of finding your path the last 2 months, we are here for you on Purple Daily.
Permission to board the ship.
The last month. It's only been a month.
Permission to board the PD ship.
So former Cousins Crusader says, did you guys see where Chris Sims ranked the quarterbacks in this year's draft? He had Drake May as QB6. He described Drake May as a project who needs to be on the bench for at least 1 to 2 years. This is what Merrill Hodge said, too.
2 years.
He said May misses way too many throws, can't reset his feet, requires significant time and space to make good throws. We all know if you don't get a lot of time and space, you don't get a lot of time and space in the pocket in the NFL. We also know Sims has one of the better track records when it comes to QB rankings, although he did have Kellen Mond very high a couple years ago. So,
above was it Fields or Hurts? Yeah, okay.
No one bats 1,000, though. Will the Vikings make a franchise-destroying decision if they trade up and draft Drake May? It's so hard. I need Kevin O'Connell's expertise on that. It's so
if this
hard.
Was Spielman, I would say yes. Like, I'd be much more likely if this was still Rick to default to these projections.
Yeah.
But then again, I didn't trust Rick Spielman by the end.
It's also hard. Like, I like to have really strong opinions on this show because I think the show is better when we have strong opinions on things. And then of course we're wrong all the time, which is what Wednesdays are for. I will admit I have a hard time having an ironclad 100% strong opinion on college quarterbacks transitioning to the NFL.
Sure.
Because we don't, like, so much of the information is off limits to us. We don't get to sit in that restaurant. We don't get to sit behind the scenes and figure out if a guy can process information, right? Like, it's really hard. All we can go off of is what other people like Chris Sims and the games that we watch. Like, it's one of the hardest things to have a strong opinion on, I think.
But that's why it's nice. Calendar. So I agree completely, but that's why it's nice to be able to have a strong opinion on the evaluators. Like, by the end, I just said Rick Spielman can't find one. And we debated that, but I just, you know, he had too many cases where he had nothing to do or too much to do with the pick. So I feel the O'Connell deserves the benefit of the doubt until he whiffs. And then now we're at a I don't trust you stage. But, like, we're talking about two. It's not just like, can the guy play? It's, can he play within the confines of what you're going to ask?
Yeah.
So like, Jaden Daniels might be of the potentially draftable guys. Jaden Daniels might be the best, like, athlete. He might be the guy who scouts, evaluators would say, this guy's talent is great. But O'Connell might say, yeah, I love him, but McCarthy can do X, Y, and Z that I want. Like, there's so much nuance here. And that's the thing that's so important about this is we're trying to judge what Kevin O'Connell will want, not just from a quarterback's talent, but also from a skill set of how he can fit that in to what he's going to do here, which is why I'm going to give him every opportunity to succeed or fail before I pass judgment.
Dave Harms chimes in and says, right or wrong, I want to feel the rush of hearing we have a trade. The Minnesota Vikings are now on the clock at the beginning of the draft, not in the middle. I think Dave represents a huge percentage of Vikings fans that just want the rush of Mel Kiper Jr., all the panelists reacting to this massive trade. And oh my God, the Vikings are picking number 3 right now. Are we just chasing a rush or are we rooting for the most strategically sound decision-making process? That's my question.
How about both? How about both things? You're chasing.
That'd be great if they could intersect. That would be amazing.
Because it's like a drug, and if your team knows, like, they've spent all of this time, and they can say, you know what, definitively, we're going to go up and get Drake May or McCarthy. Then you're like, oh my God, these guys. I mean, it's all paying off. But the rush that we all want is Goodell, suit still fresh. So, like, tie still fresh. Freshly booed. He's just been booed, but he hasn't hugged a bunch of guys yet to muss his suit. Like, you want fresh-faced Roger to say, take the card. We have a trade. That's what you want. And then the crowd will go, huh? What? Already?
It feels like people are chasing a rush here more than they're...
Don't be afraid of the rush, Bill.
I'm not afraid. I would love I would... Hey, yep. If we could get the rush and it's the right decision, I'm all in. Obviously, that'd be great. I just feel like people are, because it's the Vikings have never taken a quarterback in the top 10. They very rarely make a big trade up the board.
I don't.
People want that sugar high. They want that rush injected into their football veins.
I don't do drugs, but if I did, can you imagine that your supply comes in and it is like the purest stuff, the best stuff? That's what this could be. That's the rush. Like, it's not, it's like the purest stuff. And now you got both things.
It's pure Colombian trade card is what you have.
Exactly. That's my point. It just arrived.
Okay, this next question comes in from a Judd in St. Louis Park. Hello. Quick question. It's been several years since I've been invited to a wedding. What does black tie mean? Can I wear jeans? I'll hang up and listen.
You gotta be kidding
That's
me.
That's from Judd in St. Louis Park.
Oh, God.
It might have been texted.
I was going to say, did someone send a text between the two?
It might have been texted.
Oh, it's been a while since Judd has been to
Yeah, I have not been.
Is it like, can you wear a black tie with anything else? Or does it have to be like, what are the accessories that Judd needs to prepare for here?
Can it be a suit and a black tie as opposed to a tux?
Yeah.
Okay.
It can be a suit. Yep.
Okay.
Just basically no jeans, no polos, no.
I wouldn't wear it. Oh, no. I wouldn't wear that.
Iowa State hooded sweatshirt.
Yeah, I know that wouldn't.
You'd be shocked. You know, you guys have been.
I've never done that.
There's always been a handful of that. So that is what black tie means.
Okay.
Class it up a little bit. That's what it means.
And it'll be, Judd, as I think you said to Kelsey when you first met her, it is an A-seed venue, so you won't be sweating. You know, you're.
Oh,
you
I
know
saw where it
up.
Is. I actually, it's very close
love
to me.
That
very
area.
Close to you.
Love
I
that
love
area.
That. I love that. But I was a little bit, but I opened the invite and I showed Dawn and she immediately said, you know what black tie means, don't you? And I'm like, no, what? She goes, you got to wear a tux. I'm like, I ain't wearing a tux. And it became a very curb thing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, then I can't go. And I'm like, well, I'll send him a nice gift. I'll send him a nice gift.
You would,
but
you
I
would
ain't going to get
not
tux.
To go. I mean, I feel like you would
a little
not
bit,
to go.
Little but, bit, but I mean, I feel like I should go. But if I can wear just a suit and like a
you
nice
can wear a suit.
Okay, that's what I was curious.
I actually, on
the drive here yesterday, I did some Googling and I did find out that it says that black tie was tux, like it used to always mean tux, but now it's been updated to it's still okay to wear like a
world
nice.
The whole world is more casual now, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So,
which I like to think I helped start.
Yeah, you might have. You might have. I have a wardrobe change actually for dinner, so I will be changing jackets.
Wow. Okay.
I will be changing jackets.
Can I ask why?
This is becoming a very common thing where there's a wardrobe change.
I just don't know.
I saw because I'm wearing black. I'm wearing black, obviously, black tie for the ceremony and whatnot. But I saw a second jacket when I did my fitting, and I was like, I need that. I need that. And I was told from my fiance and mother-in-law, they said, you can get it. Just change for dinner. And I said, all right, sounds good. I like it.
See, things are changing.
I might do an outfit change halfway through the night, too.
Okay.
We'll see.
And there might be an announcement. There is a private room upstairs in the event a breaking news happens. You know, we can potentially go up there and do a podcast.
There's a podcast room up there?
I think the groomsman room has direct Ethernet. So, yeah, I mean, in the
event. It's kind of NBA free agency season, you know.
Well, hold on a second here. If that's the case, actually, you know what? Once the service and all of the official stuff is done, Phil and I could actually like live stream this whole thing then, the reception and host it.
I feel like the Purple Daily crowd.
You tell us right here, folks. But if you'd like to see this, I mean, Declan, you got a lot of fans.
Do you want us to live stream the wedding reception on the Purple Daily YouTube channel?
Yes.
Let us know.
So like the groomsman's dinner
the speeches, not dinner. Sure.
The speeches, Declan's speech, all of that good stuff.
Or we could just have a Judd cam where it's like you don't see anything else because, you know, we want to keep some things private to the room.
Yeah.
But it's just like Judd selfie cam for the entire night as he
I feel like
shovels
Phil and I could
food
host,
in.
Let me run this by the authority here. Okay. And I'm dead. Let's see.
I feel like Phil let's and see. I could host it.
Yeah, I mean, I could 100% see that.
Fantastic
being,
time.
Hello and welcome to Declan Goff's extravagant wedding.
I did the, Judd, you were at Doogie's wedding like 15 years ago. And Doogie
asked
me.
I didn't get to go.
What?
Steelers Vikings 2009.
Oh, because Don was there.
Don was there with her friend. Yeah, I think they passed out drunk.
Yeah, well, everyone did. It was Doogie's bachelor party and wedding.
I didn't get it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I did go that.
But he had me. He kind of told me last minute, like, "Hey, I'd love to involve you. Do you want to be like the ring announcer, the MC for the wedding party, and do like the Michael Buffer thing? You know, introducing from Boston, Massachusetts, the best man." So I don't really want to do that for Declan's wedding. Not that he was asking, but I would totally, totally live stream on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. Anyhow, okay, JR Tardy chimes in here with another question. Okay, guys, at what point do you consider yourselves Justin Jefferson Crusaders? He literally is the wide receiver version of Kirk Cousins. Absolute stat monster between the 20s. How many playoff wins has he given the Vikings? Let's look at it the same way. How many championships are won by teams building their roster around a highly paid franchise wide receiver? After examining this question, the answer is really zero in the last 20 years, unless you want to count Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison in Indianapolis. With that being said, why is your argument different for Jefferson than it was for Kirk Cousins?
Well, first of all, Jefferson, and I get the point. So your point is a valid talking point, but Justin Jefferson is top three in the entire league of what he does. Kirk Cousins is not. Kirk Cousins is not close to top three. Now the interesting point, and I'm trying to remember, I saw this brought up. Who the hell brought this up? Was it Albert Breer this week? He was asked about the wide receiver market. And the reason why guys like Jefferson might start to get traded is because there are so many great wide receivers coming out of college now. Like, yeah, this whole class, I mean, Thor and Tyler have both talked about, like, this is a stupid, ridiculous amount. So I get your point, but I would say I am far more of a Jefferson Crusader, because if you were to rank all of, you know, the top 10 receivers in the league right now, Jefferson is, he might be one, and he's between one and three. Kirk Cousins, and people who were Crusaders agreed at times on this, might have snuck into the top 10, but he was often like 11, 12, 13.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it this way. I don't know that it's the right strategy to pay $35 million or whatever percentage of the salary cap to a non-quarterback. I remain skeptical about that. But if you're going to have a quarterback on a rookie scale contract, you have the luxury of maybe overpaying a little bit for some of the other positions. But it's all about value. You can't, we've talked about this a million times on the show. You can't build a Super Bowl roster paying top of the market value to every single position. You'd run out of salary cap space, right? That's why if you're going to pay top of the market value for something, it better damn well be for the best at that position. And the Vikings were paying near top of the market value for Kirk Cousins, being nowhere near a franchise carrying quarterback. So that's why there's no difference. Like, I remain a little skeptical about paying a wide receiver like $35 million a year.
Yes.
But he helps elevate a J.J. McCarthy, a Jaden Daniels, and maybe you can cross that bridge in 2 years and trade him later if you need to. Like the Chiefs did with Tyreek Hill, like the Buffalo Bills have done with Stephon Diggs, etc. So there's just a big difference between paying the 12th best quarterback top three cap hit money, which the Vikings did for most years, and paying the best wide receiver the best wide receiver money.
Right. Well, and plus two, in at least the Vikings case, Kevin O'Connell is uniquely qualified to help elevate the play, which he did with Kirk. I mean, Kirk Cousins was a better QB, there's no question about it, with KO as his coach. Justin Jefferson, I'm not saying that McCardle doesn't help him. He does. But I am also saying the starting point of Justin Jefferson's talents are his own. Like, he is great the second he steps on the field without help. Like, we're just talking about a different stratosphere of skill here when you're trying to compare, like, Kirk to Justin Jefferson.
Ira Coleman chimes in, says, "Don't get me wrong, I love Judd, but..."
But
like, it drives me crazy when Judd dances around the question and says anything but the answer to the question that was asked, and then makes his own question up and answers that instead.
A bob and weave, yeah.
It's good. Tell Judd to answer the question that was asked. I'm talking about the Spencer Rattler talker from Monday. So I will ask the question again.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
If Kevin O'Connell, throughout this whole process, let's say this whole thing, traveling across the country to do these face-to-face sit-downs with all these quarterbacks, it's all a smokescreen. And the Vikings love Spencer Rattler. And they take him with the 23rd overall pick. They go Byron Murphy or a defensive player 11, and they take Spencer Rattler because Kevin O'Connell loves Spencer Rattler.
Yes.
Would you continue to have faith in Kevin O'Connell and ride the Spencer Rattler train, or would you be off?
I'm going to put it in the Bo Nix category. I get off the train.
Okay.
I lose faith. I lose faith. If it's Bo Nix or Rattler, I lose faith because we're talking about your future. We're talking about the quarterback. And I believe I did say, now I'm not saying I don't dance, bob and weave at times. Ollie, man, in his prime. A few drinks, I'll be dancing for sure. But that being said, yeah, I get off the train here. And I think I've made that clear on Nix as well.
Or as a couple other people have pointed out in the comments, you could take defensive player 11. You could trade back, get a trade back into the second, get another second round pick. I'm not saying this is what I would do, but if the Vikings decided, you know what, we're not going to move up the board and we love ourselves some Spencer Rattler, former five-star high school.
This goes back to what you said at the top of the show, though. It feels like they know something and it doesn't sound like it's a trade back.
Yeah, they're going to stick and take Spencer Rattler at 11. That's what they're going
to
do.
You know what the one thing is? So to turn the question around, your exact question, but let's replace the name Rattler with Penix. And let's say they do take him with the 11th pick, which in some estimates is way too quickly. What's your opinion?
I am fine with it. I'm fine with it. I think Michael Penix is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I think the knees are going to be okay for the duration of his rookie scale contract. And I think if Kevin O'Connell sat down with Michael Penix for a day or two in Seattle and said, oh yeah, that's my guy. That's my leader. Yep. We'll teach him some of the underneath intermediate stuff that he wasn't as great at. If I'm pretty much in the boat of, if Kevin O'Connell loves one of these guys, who am I to fight him on it?
Penix,
including Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, no.
For the record.
I'm off the train. I am off the train, and I will wait for the next one. I will wait for the next coach to come along to get back on the train.
Okay, Jackson Riggins says, hello, sir. This is the guy who scoffed at Goff about the Tony Pollard stuff before free agency. I would love to hear what Declan thinks about the signing of Aaron Jones instead of Pollard, or maybe using that money on a different position. Also, I'm a Florida native and a Vikings fan. Would like to designate myself as the official fellow Florida fan of the Vikings and Score North. I'll be writing in and giving Vikings takes from your wonderful tropical paradise in the South and scoffing with Goff whenever. With Goff or at Goff? Because those are two very different things. Are you guys scoffing together?
Are you laughing with him or are you laughing at him?
Aaron Jones.
I like Aaron Jones a lot. I put him right up there with Tony Pollard. I know that was the one I pinpointed a lot that I wanted the Vikings to go after. When Aaron Jones was on and healthy, that Packers offense was a whole lot different. So, and I think the fact he actually missed time last year, I know there's injury concerns. You can look at that and be like, oh, but he's going to get injured. Well, there's not as much tread on the tires either. So I think that honestly helps his mileage. It's kind of like you're buying a used car with these running backs. So I actually think Aaron Jones fits in great in this offense. So I'm really excited that Madison didn't work. And Ty Chandler, I don't think, is the type of dude that is ready to have 300, 400 touches in a season. So Aaron Jones, as your solid one starting running back option, I'm a big fan of it. I like it a lot.
Oh. I mean, Pollard's a lot younger, but I'd be a little nervous about... I'm in on Pollard. I'm also in on Aaron Jones, but... The one thing about Pollard is his workload went way up, his productivity went down, and and now does attrition start to catch up because of the workload thing? But no, a couple more here for you guys, but let's do our Meadows app giveaway real quick here, Declan.
Yeah, so the Meadows at Mystic Lake, which I've obviously been talking to you guys about before, we're also doing an app giveaway. So our friends at the Meadows at Mystic Lake and Score North, we're teaming up to give away a one stay-and-play golf package for four each month this season. The prize includes two rounds of golf with cart at the Meadows at Mystic Lake, plus one night stay at the Mystic Lake Casino for four. So for your chance to win, all you got to do is you download the Score North app. There's a listener rewards tab there. You enter through there. Go download the Score North app, get the stay and play package from our friends at the Meadows at Mystic Lake.
Also, a shout out to our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. There's business owners out there we know that consume Purple Daily. We appreciate you, and you understand the importance of protecting your reputation, your workplace, your employees, financial assets. The team at Federated is ready to help your team by creating a custom lineup of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you stay on top of your game. Contact your local Federated rep for more information. Go to federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Okay, let's see here. Let's go to Trey Miller. Hey guys, wanted to touch base. Thank you for the podcast. I am probably one of the biggest Vikings fans you will come across. Been a fan for 60 years. Was born the year they became a team. Wow, man, that is a long time, man. I have a Viking-themed house, car, truck, golf cart, and live in Florida, and am a season ticket holder as well.
Wow.
So you bounce back and forth for the games. Now you guys hook me up with some great information after I used to be stuck with Viking Update for years, or I was stuck on Viking Update for years, not in a bad way. I have a Facebook page and strictly for Minnesota Vikings fans, but full of pictures. The Facebook page is called It's Viking Time, Baby. Or on YouTube, he says, too. Search It's Viking Time, Baby. So, all Trey, right, maybe you get some more followers out of this shout-out here. It's Viking Time, Baby. Man, a Vikings-themed house, car, truck, golf cart, and season tickets from Florida.
That is potentially a very understanding spouse.
Yeah.
Or is Trey single?
Well, he might be. But as long as Trey's happy, that's all that matters.
Honey, we need to adjust the left horn on the outside of the house.
Yep.
Looks like it's coming down into the electrical wiring.
We're driving to church in our Vikings car. Get on in.
My fiance compared me to, which kind of irritates me because I don't really like this movie as I've gotten older. We've done it before. But she said, we're now living the life of Fever Pitch now that I'm covering the Twins and everything revolves around my schedule with home games for the Twins.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, now I'm Jimmy Fallon in Fever Pitch, who's just like, so super, super nervous. And, hey, buddy, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't want to be
that
Jimmy
Fallon.
That
movie makes me uncomfortable.
It does. I liked it as, like, a kid, teenager when it first came out. But when we redid it on Rom-Com Rewind, I was like, this movie stinks. This is not a good movie.
Well, the fact that Drew Barrymore drops herself from the center field on
too, right?
to the warning track at Fenway Park, where she would have broken both her legs. Like, you can't do
that. That's how the movie should have ended, with her just like crawling across the warning track with a compound fracture.
And then being arrested.
Oh, God! Oh,
and being
God!
Carted off the
Why
field.
Me? Why me?
Why?
Matt Alex says, hey, guys, first time chiming in here. I find it impossible that the Vikings have little interest in Jaden Daniels, so they finally did schedule a face-to-face with him. Last year, the Vikings had tons of ambition to trade and acquire Anthony Richardson, according to reports. Richardson also had a horrible completion percentage and had, as much as Kevin O'Connell loves accuracy, he still really pushed for a trade to get Richardson. I'm coming to think May is a possible smokescreen from the Vikings to get Daniels. I mean, Daniels is a lot more accurate than Anthony Richardson was, so I could see him being a better fit for the Vikings than Richardson.
Yes. Yes. We know that the Vikings would love to trade up and take a QB. I would say it's safe to say this. We have no idea which one.
Yep.
I mean, we're just guessing.
We're going to find out in less than 2 weeks.
We're going to find out when the Patriots are on the clock. Oh, no, we have a trade.
Amazing. All right, boys, that's the end of this Feedback Friday edition of Purple Daily. Thank you to the audience who has stuck with us through this off season, and maybe those of you who have discovered us this off season. We appreciate you, and we are a 365 day a year Vikings content platform. Yes, even after the draft, daily Vikings entertainment all throughout the
even
summer.
More so,
we got a bunch of lists that we're going to be unveiling. Well,
we got OTAs,
I'm sure, this summer.
Minicamp. I mean, my God, we can start to assess that young man who's throwing passes. Pass judgment before he ever plays a game.
It's going to be great. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die around here. We'll see you guys tomorrow on Purple Daily.